What's up, everybody? This is Lisa Fields, the founder and president of the Jew 3 Project, and these are five highlights from 2023. Number five, we release a critical and important curriculum for parents to talk to their teens about gender and sexuality in partnership with Access. This curriculum has reached thousands of parents across the country and helped them have better conversations with their teens about gender and sexuality. Number four, we released a mini doc telling my story and the Jew 3 Project story earlier this year, and it's reached thousands of people across the globe. Number three, Courageous Conversations 2023 was an amazing success, our best year yet. This year, we focus on how to reconstruct after deconstructing your faith. And we have so many testimonies of countless people that have been blessed by Courageous Conversations in person and virtually, and continue to be blessed through our on-demand option. Number two, as you know, we released our Juneteenth documentary last year, but this year it got picked up by PBS and was available in millions of homes across the country on Juneteenth of this year. That is so amazing. God is so good. And number one, I am so excited that our Unspoken documentary was picked up by Tubi this year, so it's available free to anyone who wants to watch it and reaches our target audience of skeptics who are struggling with this idea that Christianity is a white man's religion. And that's not all. This month, it was picked up by Fox Soul and aired on national television for the first time, available in millions of homes across the world. We could not do what we do at the Jew 3 Project without you. We have so much lined up next year. I have a book coming out next year that I'm excited to tell y'all about, When Faith Disappoints, the gap between what we believe and what we experience. And there's so much more that we have lined up for 2024. The amazing thing about 2024 is our 10-year anniversary. Jew 3 turns 10, 2024. And so we want to encourage you to stay tuned to all of our socials, subscribe to our newsletter for the exciting things we have coming up in 2024. Thank you for helping us reach these milestones this year. And if you want to continue to help the mission and vision of the Jew 3 Project and help us finish this year strong, or if you see this in the new year, to help us continue the work we do for the Jew 3 Project, you can give online at jew3project.org/donate. You have the option to give online, or there's an address to mail your check in person. Every gift you give helps equip. We could not do what we do without you. So thank you. We appreciate you, and more to come. Grace and peace, and God bless.
Hello, welcome to the Jew 3 Project podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Fields. I'm the founder of the Jew 3 Project.
Well, thank you for watching another episode of the Jew 3 Project podcast. As always, I'm your host, Lisa Fields, the founder of the Jew 3 Project. And today I'm joined by another special guest that I'm excited about, Jerla Prevalon.
Yes.
How are you doing, Jerla?
I'm doing well. Thank you. You got the name right. So we're doing great so far.
Tell our audience a little bit about who you are.
Well, my name is Jerla Prevalon. I was born in Haiti. I grew up here in New Jersey and spent a decade and a half in Texas, went to grad school there and stayed a little longer than I anticipated. And now I'm back in New Jersey. So, and I'm a minister, a therapist, a coach, and I just love working with people with trauma, women especially. I have a nonprofit called Elevate Her International, where we do trauma work around the world for women. We've been in Haiti most significantly, and in Uganda, Congo, Kenya are some of the places we've been.
Awesome. That struck my first question. We're going to get to your book, Does God See Me?
Yay.
And I love the subtitle, How God Meets Us in the Center of Our Trauma Healing Journey.
Yes, absolutely.
But for people, you talked about you being a therapist. People often don't know there's a different kind of therapy sometimes needed for trauma. Mm-hmm. Can you explain the difference for those who are listening that might be wondering, do they need to shift in how they focus or look for a therapist?
Yeah. You know, the thing about therapy is that when we go to school for training, we can do a number of things. And so it all depends on the concentration, on the focus that we decide to give more education on. So a trauma therapist is someone that's trained to be aware of signs, symptoms, and the deeper workings of trauma in someone's life. Mm-hmm. And that needs specialized eyes and attention. And so some trauma therapists will do some training with EMDR, for example. That's the eye movement type of modality. Some others will do art training. So there's a plethora of ways for therapists to do more training when it comes to trauma. But the basic thing is that we're trained to just be able to know how trauma impacts someone, how it can even change someone's life, how they function, their identity, even where they go, the types of jobs they get. So for us, we just we do the training so that we can help people who are dealing with trauma be able to start over again, be able to function again and live life abundantly again. So for us, we just love that area. I get people that ask me, how do you deal with so much trauma on a daily basis and you're still smiling? I'm like, well, it's a calling, you know. You have to be called to be able to sit with people. It's almost like you're a traveling companion for people who have dealt with significant amount of trauma, and to be able to journey with them, because it is a journey. It's a healing journey that people go through to be able to deal with those types of traumas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, I think that leads us into the book. Does God See Me? What was the motivation for writing Does God See Me?
Yeah. You know, as a therapist and as a minister, the thing is, we're not exempt from trauma ourselves, you know, and I believe to be a great therapist, you have to tap into your own challenges, your own issues. And so for me, it was my own trauma, my own background of trauma. And as a Black woman, too, you know, I'm often in this space asking this question. And I didn't realize how much I asked this question of God, because I mean, countless disappointments, countless areas of pain. And in the season where I began writing the book, we had 3 significant losses in our family, one being my only brother and my youngest brother. And I'm like, okay, God, do you even see me, this Black woman who has been serving you for all my life? Do you see me? Do you care? Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on? So the motivation for the title itself, you know, was this question that I believe, you know, we all kind of share, we have in common, because I'm not the only one that's asked it. When I shared the title to a friend of mine, she said, you're tapping into this challenge I have with God constantly. And mm-hmm. that is this question. Do you see me, God? And the more I dug in, the more I started seeing that I'm not the only one that asked this question. My clients are asking this question. Women that we work with around the world ask this question. And the Bible itself, countless examples of men and women of God who are sitting with this question. And so it was appropriate to bring it to life and to put it on the cover of this book, because I think it's a question that sometimes we're afraid to even ask in public because we're afraid of what others will say about me being a Christian asking this question, does God see me?
Yeah. And you're right. Scripture throughout is people wrestling. David, I'm reading through the book of Job right now in my devotional time, and Job is talking to his friends like, y'all don't understand. Like,
exactly.
I didn't do anything wrong. Like, I don't know what God is doing up there.
Exactly.
What's going on? And so this, and you mentioned Hagar in your book.
Yes.
She names God the God who sees.
Absolutely.
And so can you dive a little bit into kind of how people can go from trauma to healing? I know I don't want to give too much away in the book, but I think we talk a lot about trauma in our society and people feel like they're going to be stuck there forever.
Yes.
And there's not hope on the other side of it.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, when I found Hagar almost by accident, because I believe that Hagar is a woman that's traumatized, that's misunderstood all throughout, right? And so for me, I sat with Hagar. I'm like, well, what question did she have of God to be able to proclaim that you are the God that sees me? I'm like, I bet Hagar had that same question I had, you know? Because that proclamation does not come out of nothing. She had to be sitting in her own pain, in her own challenges. And we see Hagar's pain. Mm-hmm. We see what she was going through. So she had to have this very question in mind to be able to proclaim that. So there are people, and we see Hagar's process. You know, the Bible, you know, ends Hagar's story in such a peculiar way. But when we go deeper, we see that Hagar did not die in the wilderness. You know, God did show up for Hagar, and there was healing, and there was, you know, God did deliver Hagar from the challenges and the pain and the suffering and the trauma that she was going through. And this, in the same way, I believe we can find healing for trauma that we have gone through. And what I use, the language I use in the book, is that it's a journey. I'll get clients and different people come to me thinking that, you know, they've gone through horrific losses, the horrific accounts of trauma, and that they will be healed overnight. And for me, I'm like, that's not how it works. We have to go on a journey. There are some people, you know, with childhood trauma, sexual abuse, and all kinds of abuse, and they'll come to me and say, I'm ready to talk about the trauma. I'm ready to do this and that. And I'm like, hold up just 1 minute. Let's journey together. If you commit through the journey, if you commit to what the healing process is like, you will find healing, but you have to commit to that journey. So for me, what I do in the book is take my readers on a healing journey that starts with care and tenderness and gentleness and grace. People who have been traumatized, that you can't just show up and just say, do this healing, do it now. What's wrong with you? Turn your life around. You know, you got to do this. It doesn't work that way. It has to start with care, tenderness, and love, and the same love, care, and tenderness that Jesus offers. So there's a lot of Jesus in the book. One of my friends read the book and she says, there's a lot of Jesus in there. I'm like, I don't know. Even as a therapist, I don't know how you can go about the healing journey without Jesus, you know? And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Jesus girl. I am a Jesus girl. But I've been to places in like Congo and Haiti. And I'm like, my therapeutic strategies won't be enough for these people. And they need a combination of a therapeutic strategies and Jesus. I can't leave them with just strategies. I got to give them Jesus as well. And so for me as a therapist, I'm like, I don't know how other people do trauma healing. But for me in my house, we're going to do trauma healing with Jesus and therapy.
No, I love that, because I think the therapy can be a map to get you to Jesus.
Absolutely.
Like, it could be one of the strategies, but it's not like it's a means to an end. It's not the end in itself.
It's not the end all be all. And I tell people that, you know, there are countless communities around the world in America where people will not have access to therapy. You know, partly because therapy costs, you know. Yes, there are lots of organizations that want to make therapy accessible and make therapy affordable even. Even then, there are countless folks in Haiti, in Congo, in Uganda, they will not be afforded opportunities to do traditional therapy like we do, then what happens to them and the trauma that they've gone through, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to be able to expand the conversation as far as healing to include those people as well that don't have access. And so for me, my vantage point is always larger than what the westernized therapy that we do for people that come in once a week and, you know, we pay our money and then we go. And I'm saying that I'm telling on myself because I'm a therapist in a westernized therapist, but I'm a child of the world. I was born in Haiti and I've been all over the world. And I'm like, this can't be just it, people. Yeah. This is not the end all be all. This is just a means for this side of the world. Now, let's think about the other side of the world and people without access. How will they get access? In my book, you know, I really wanted to write the book for people without access, you know, mm-hmm. and I want them to look at the book and navigate through their own healing journey, even if they don't have the money and the means to go to therapy. And the other thing too is that we got to think expansively about the healing journey. We got to think about our communities. Like in Haiti, you know, a person will not go to therapy, but they will go through their church community. They will meet each other at the well to get water. They will connect with one another in the marketplaces. So we got to think about healing more expansively about the community. The community must be involved in the community, in the healing journey. So for me, it's not just you know, therapy here on this side of the world, but it's more expansive. It's broader. It's a broader conversation for me.
Yeah, I love that. I often say that whatever message we proclaim that we feel like we were given from God, it must work outside of America.
Absolutely.
So if God is telling us something for the people of God, obviously God does give words to particular nations. That's, you know, we see that in scripture. Right. However, sometimes we throw out proclamations that we think are God or strategies. And it's just like, well, that only works in America. That's not an international word. It seems like you've infused the word with the American dream. Exactly. And made something else completely different. This is not going to work in another country. And I love how you expanded that, because me and my friend were talking about even our culture of cutoff. Yes. And the isolationists in America, like, you know, this person doesn't serve me any longer. And we were talking about how that's really an American and a self-centered,
totally
isolationist position, because we're not in relationships for people to serve us. We're, Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. And so, like, to give himself a ransom for many. And so it's just like, this is American dream isolationist. This is not biblical. And so we have more trauma, depression, because we are isolating ourselves. And while we get hurt in community, community is how we get healed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the thing about healing. You know, every therapist will tell you, when we're doing like an assessment of new clients, for example, one of the questions that we have to ask is about community. Like, what's your support network? Tell me about your support network. If someone is in isolation, that's a red flag for us, because all of a sudden we're like, you're not getting the support that you need from your community. Where's your community? Mm-hmm. Where are your people? You know, so for me, you know, as I'm, again, a child of the world, being from Haiti and being a therapist, I'm like, I cannot just adopt the Western therapeutic model that I've been taught. It has to be a broader conversation. It has to be a bigger conversation. I'll get clients from, you know, I'll get Black clients, Black couples, and, you know, people from Asia, people from Africa. I've had clients from Pakistan. And for me, again, I cannot use these westernized eyes to do therapy. So mm-hmm. I have to take those Western shoes off to be mm-hmm. like, okay, you're telling me about a problem here, and I need context that's beyond the American context, right? Mm-hmm. And then I have to throw some of my education away, because sometimes what they need is not for me to just sit there and mirror what they're saying. They need for me to say something else, because I'm a Black woman and I understand that this Black couple needs something different than a white therapist would tell them. You know, mm-hmm. I have to show up fully in understanding that this is a bigger conversation. And if I'm talking about healing, I need to expand the conversation to connect to people that's beyond this American model that I've been taught. So I've had to teach myself and I've had to really go back home. I had to go back home and look at, how do my people heal? What are the things my people are doing that's already in their communities that's healing them? I can't just, you know, in our organization, I can't just show up with a training from America and say, here you go, learn what I've taught you. So we position ourselves, the way we posture ourselves in mutual learning, because that's how my people learn. So mutually, they're teaching me, I'm teaching them. You know, we're learning together. They have a thing or two to say about trauma, because they've been living under trauma for so long that mm-hmm. these people can tell me, how have you survived for so long dealing with so much trauma? So when we go over there, I listen to them. My team, we are just taking their examples of what they've been doing, what they do to heal. And I tell you, everywhere I go, whether it's Haiti, whether it's Uganda, whether it's Congo, every last one of them will say something. If it wasn't for the Lord, I would have died already, right? Mm-hmm. And so part of what the language they use for healing is that godness that is holding them, that is keeping them, that is the glue to their healing journey. So for me, I'm like, I can't write a book on trauma and not bring their godness in there. This book is for them. And if I just write a book about strategies, my people will not read it. Mm-hmm. My people need to know that there is healing through God. And I'll give you a little bit of strategies. And it's not even strategies as much as what I've seen the people do. Because my people, you know, when I'm in Haiti and Congo, they're walking all the time. That's a therapeutic strategy. And I just point them to it. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's what you've been doing too, to help you heal. You walk every day. And as they're walking, they're singing. You know, as they're walking, they're humming, they're connecting with friends. As they're in the market, they're laughing, they're shouting, they're cracking jokes with one another. What are all those things? Those are therapeutic strategies. But these people have it in their communities. So I don't want us to, you know, go into these countries and say, oh, they're lost, they're forgotten, they're this and they're that. They have no one. No, that's not true. Mm-hmm. That is not true. They have God and they have each other, and mm-hmm. they have the community, and they're, and that has been what's healed them. And even in the book, I point back to, you know, times of slavery. How did they make it through? How did they make it through? They made it through in the same conversation that we're having. They, you know, they held on. The godness, God was in their stories, you know, the singing, the coming together, the, you know, showing up, that community that they built, they made it through. They did not have traditional therapists. And I still want reparation for that, because I still believe that, you know, for 400 years of just pain and suffering and trauma and, you know, so much happening to our people. And yet you still never offered no resources, no opportunities for them to heal. But they've learned something on their own within their community and with their God to help them survive and continue to build a legacy for themselves. So It has to be an interconnectedness of God and therapy and our community to help us heal.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. I was having a conversation just last week for a project I'm working on. And I was like, one of the reasons we don't have good materials for youth today is because we build materials based on the low-hanging fruit. So the church kids,
right?
The kids that are always in church, or The kids that parents are active. And So we build things for them because it's easy to survey them and ask them what their questions, but they're not representing general population. So Our resources end up being flat and not effective for the general pop, because we're creating kids resources for people in the bubble.
Right.
And so that's exactly what you're communicating as it relates to therapy. We're creating resources for people in this very niche community of people who can afford therapy, but we're not thinking expansively about people out in America that can't afford it, but also outside of the U.S. that can't afford it and will not have access. And if we say that therapy is the only mode for healing, we're saying that God doesn't give healing to people without access.
Exactly.
And that's not true.
Exactly. It's not. It is not true at all. We're here because that's not true. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's not true.
Yeah. And the woman with the issue of blood, I think, demonstrates that so clearly, because she had resources and access because she spent all her money going to people that were supposed to be able to help her get healing.
Right.
Only to have used her resources not to get healing. But one touch from Jesus, she got the healing her resources couldn't provide her.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, and I think sometimes we become so educated and so knowledgeable that we forget that healing is possible too, right? Mm-hmm. And I talk a little bit about that in the book, you know, because again, I'm a Jesus girl. I believe that God can bring about healing to all of us. You know, and I believe in the power of the healing touch of Jesus, because I believe in all of that. I still believe it's possible. And so we can't be too knowledgeable. We can't be too learned. We can't be too educated to forget that part is possible as well. So when people come into my office, you know, sometimes people will ask me about, you know, I want a Christian counselor. And I'm like, please tell me what you mean by that, you know, because for me in my head, I have a number of things that I believe that to mean. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we have a conversation. But what I often walk away or want them to walk away with is that I believe that Jesus can bring about healing. I believe this could be a way for Jesus to bring your healing. But I also believe that Jesus can touch you and heal you as well. So I want them to be, and it can be hard for us to hold this tenet because sometimes we want to be all about just this one aspect of healing. And not the other aspect of healing. Sometimes God wants us to hold this tension of, I can say the word and you will be healed. At the same time, I want you to go to Jerla and sit and talk to her. And something will happen in the conversation, in the journey that you guys, in the relationship that you develop together, that will bring about healing to you. Hold both. Mm-hmm. Hold both and don't let go. Right?
Yeah.
And that's what
I, yeah, I love that. My therapist, shout out to Dr. Stacy.
I love Dr. Stacy already.
But we always she starts the therapy session in prayer. Mm. And so we go through this journey, but it's like we're inviting the Lord into the therapy session. And right. So I think that it is what you're saying. It is that tension of, yes, I'm going to go see Dr. Stacey every 2 weeks. And then we're inviting the Lord in. And right. So that combination and that tension, I think, brings about more wholeness in my life and healing in my life. And I think people struggle with that tension. They're like, either I'm inviting the Lord. We have the both extremes. People are inviting the Lord, not inviting the Lord in and just saying, I'm just going to do therapy. And people are just doing prayer. And sometimes, you know, God does work through prayer. But right. Sometimes you need people just to see what you can't. Because right. I can't see without a mirror or something else outside of me. I can't see myself.
Right.
Right. And that's in a natural and emotionally and spiritually sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this is a conversation we have in our network often. I work with a group practice, Watershed Group through Lifeology, and we're based in the Texas area in Jersey now. And we're all Christian in some shape or form, you know, and we believe in this conversation that we're having, the both and, right? And then the conversation is always, you know, what do people mean by Christian counseling? Because sometimes they'll bring in their own definition. I just need a verse, or I just need you to pray. I just need you to do this and that. So we always start with that conversation to see what the client is meaning and what they're needing. You know, sometimes my Christian clients can be the hardest for me, you know, partly because they already bring in their preconceived notions of what they need, and they don't want you to speak into it. They don't want you to mess with any of it, right? And sometimes we have to let go to let God be able to bring about something new in your life so that you can receive the healing. Sometimes you got to let me tell you what I'm seeing. You know, you bring in a situation and you have to believe that I know God, you know, God is using me to say something to you, to speak something to you. So sometimes Christian clients can be hard because they're so hard and rigid in this is what it has to look like. And God is saying, hey, relax, be still and know that I am God. I'm doing something right now. And let this person here speak to you and tell you what they're seeing about your situation.
I love that because it's like your book is God, does God see me? But what therapy allows is like prayer allows for you to show God who you are. Therapy and community allows other people to see you.
Yes.
And sometimes we're comfortable with God seeing us. We want God to see us, but we don't want people to see us.
Oh, yes.
And God is like, I rigged your life not only for me to see you, but for other people to see you. And you can't get healing unless God and people see you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's something about confession. Mm-hmm. And there's something about relationship in the faith. That when there's confession, when there's a contrite spirit, when there's those things that happen, and when there's good community, there can be healing.
Yeah.
There can be good healing. You know, when you submit to that process, you know, there can be such great healing that happens, you know? So I'm a believer. I'm a believer in community. I'm a believer in being seen. I'm a believer in doing life with people around you, not in isolation, because I believe that's where, you know, the pain and suffering and stuff that we're struggling with festers. Mm-hmm. And that's where we see it festering. Nobody is doing the work. No one's talking. No one's allowing anyone to see them. Everyone's in hiding. Everyone's in isolation. And then shame takes root and it just festers and goes and runs wild. But where there's a good, grounded community where you're allowing yourself to be seen and you're doing confession and you're accepting what the other person is seeing of you, and that's where I believe good healing happens in community.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And everybody, get this book. Is it out yet? I know I have an advanced copy.
Yes, you have an advanced copy. It releases fully May 7th.
So okay.
May 7th, I'll be touring around just to talk a little bit about, does God see me? Everybody has a reaction when they read the title, you know? And I'm like, yes, that's the question. That's the question I want everyone to be processing through.
But make sure you all pre-order, because pre-orders are very important. So make sure you pre-order this book and not only order a copy for you, but you know somebody that is also wrestling with trauma, also wondering if God sees them. And this is just not a book for women. I know that it is a book many men are wrestling with. Does God see them? And so this is a book for everyone, not just Black people, white people, Asian, all people need to know that they're seen by God and loved by Him.
Absolutely.
And so thank you so much for joining us. How can people get in contact with you on social media and in contact with your organization?
Yes. If they go on my website, jirlaprevlon.com, they will find all of my socials and handles, and the organization is on there as well. The organization is elevateherinternational.org. And so you can contact me through there as well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Jirla. This has been a joy to have you, and I love the conversation.
Yes.
Thank you all for tuning in to the G3 Project podcast. You can catch all our past episodes at G3Project.org or wherever you subscribe to your favorite podcast. You can watch on our YouTube channel. And remember, Courageous Conversations is coming up in DC August 29th through the 31st. This is our 10th year as an organization, so we're going to do something special this year. So don't miss it. It's going to be a treat, and I'm excited about all the speakers. Remember, my book, When Faith Disappoints, comes out August 13th, and the conference is centered around the theme of the conference is the book. And so you're definitely going to want to join us for that. You can support the g3project.org/donate. Remember, every gift helps equip. And until next time, grace and peace and God bless.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the G3 Project podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can tune into all our past episodes at www.g3project.com. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Remember not only to subscribe, but also rate us. That helps us to gauge how we're doing and how you're enjoying the show. And it gives other listeners some ideas about the show as well. So thank you so much for tuning in. Also, remember, we have our Bible engagement app in partnership with Back to the Bible to help you get better engaged in the Bible every single day. You take a survey, it assesses your strengths and weaknesses and sends you Bible verses based on those. So it's a great app. You can download the app by searching in your App Store or Google Play, searching G3 Project, and it'll be right there for you. So thank you again. Remember, if you would like to become a monthly partner or a one-time giver, you can do so on our website or by mail. Just go to G3Project.com, hit that donate tab, and you'll see the option to mail in a gift or give online. We appreciate you, and I'm so, so thankful for you. God bless, and remember, here at the G3 Project, we're helping you to know what you believe and why you believe it.